If you have your Bible, please open to Isaiah chapter 35. If you were here last Sunday night, I ask you to turn your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 35. We studied the first seven verses of this chapter last week, and I figured with the shortened time we have to study tonight before our semi-annual congregational meeting, it would be a good opportunity to look at the last three verses of this chapter and discuss those together. Isaiah chapter 35, we'll be focusing on verses 8 through 10, but just being 10 verses, we will go ahead and read the entire chapter to begin. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 1, read with me. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. If there was one word to describe the picture we saw in verses 1 through 7, that word would be restoration. What we saw was the work of God in the Messiah. We see that because it's a picture of God coming to man. It said the Lord will come. And God's work in the Messiah was to set things right. It says he comes to judge and to save, to judge those who oppose him, to punish the wicked, but to save those who are his, to save those that are the remnant of God. And in doing so, again, he set things right. He restores all things. He restores creation. He takes away the curse from creation that was laid upon it as a result of man's sin. And as the centerpiece of that, he restores man, restores the weaknesses and the imperfections of man to what he was originally created to be. Then in verse 8, we see the result of all that. We see in verse 8 what God has accomplished when he makes all things right. When he performs his work, he creates, verse 8 says, a highway. God's work is to create a road. And it's a road, the text tells us, that leads to Zion. It says for people to return on this road and return to Zion, return to Jerusalem, to the house of the Lord. No doubt this would have been a message of comfort for the people of Isaiah's day, people that were on the verge of being taken into captivity. Isaiah was telling them, through the Spirit of the Lord, that they were going to be taken into exile, taken away from their land into a land that was not their own, to live a life of exile. But there will be people that return. There will be a roadway. There will be a highway for people to return to Zion. So this is a picture of hope for those people. But we would surely recognize that that is not the ultimate work of God. Yes, that was accomplished. Those people, a remnant of those people, returned back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, but that is not the full work of God. Because the full work of God is to take his people who have been in captivity to sin, who have been exiled in a dark world, a domain of darkness that the New Testament will call it, and to bring them back to the Lord who created them. To bring a remnant of people that trust in him, a remnant of righteous people, and bring them back to Zion to dwell with the Lord in gladness and in joy, where there'll be no more sorrow and no more sighing, as the text tells us. That is what God wants. God wants all men to return on this highway, return to him, to come to him, to dwell with him. That's God's work. He's creating a highway. But the question is, who's going to travel on that? Who will travel on the highway? Three things tonight about that before we close. First is that the highway is for a holy people. The highway is for a holy people. It is called, in verse 8, the highway of holiness. God's people are people that are set apart. A people holy to the Lord is a common phrase throughout the Old Testament. And Peter will say in the New Testament that Christians are a holy people, a holy nation, sanctified, set apart from the world to belong to God. And it is a holy people that will travel on this highway, because it says also in verse 8 that the unclean shall not pass on it. The highway is not for those that are full of impurity, that are defiled. It is for a holy people. But the highway is also for a led people, a people that are led. In verse 8 it says that it shall belong to those who walk on the way. Maybe seems like an obvious statement, that the highway belongs to those who walk on it. But the point is that this is not just a highway that people can wander on and off of accidentally. This is not a highway for people just to be on it for a short time and then be off and not know where they're going, like many of our highways are. This is a highway for people that are walking on it with a purpose of returning to Zion, with their minds and their hearts set on Zion, walking toward it intentionally. The word walk shows up all throughout the New Testament. That may be the most popular word in the New Testament to describe what Christians should be doing. Phrases like Paul will say multiple times in multiple letters, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Or in one place, to walk by the Spirit. Because God's people are a walking people. Life in God is not a one-time action. It's not a sporadic action. It is something that is done intentionally, purposefully, continuously, day after day, always moving forward, always moving closer, day by day walking on the way. And it says, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Or your translation may say that the fools will not wander on it. Regardless of which one of those is correct, I think the point is the same. The people that walk on this way, they don't go astray. They might have been fools before they got on the road, before they got on the highway of holiness. But they don't wander astray once they are on it. Because the highway is for a led people, just as it is for a holy people. And last, the highway is for a redeemed people. It says that the highway will be protected from any ravenous beasts, but in verse 9 it says, the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Because the only reason that people are on this road in the first place is because God bought them back. They were captives. They were slaves and exiles. But a remnant of God's people can return on the highway of holiness because God ransomed them. Through the blood of Jesus, he has bought back a people for his own possession, redeemed them from their iniquities, set them free from the captivity they caused themselves through sin. It's God's saved, ransomed, redeemed people that will walk on the highway of holiness. They are holy, and they are led because they are redeemed. And so the obvious question tonight is, are you am I? Are we on the highway of holiness? Have we become a part of God's redeemed people? Have we become a part of God's holy people? Have we had our sins washed away in baptism, as God commands, to dedicate ourselves to Him, to commit to walking by the Spirit, to walking on the way of holiness that leads back to God, that leads to that habitation, that lovely Zion that God has prepared for us? If you have wandered off of that way and need to do something tonight to get back on it, or you would like to begin that journey tonight to be on the highway of holiness, however you need to be helped, whether in private or in public, let us know if we need to, as we stand and as we sing.